Right. Thank you so much for listening into the Conscious Awareness and Mind Growth Academy. It is another episode of your blessing. Get ready to learn some, teach one, and share with all, so that together we can live in oneness, happy and fulfilled. I'm your host Gardner alongside Lulu. Today we are talking about,
you know, there is the power of the mind. That is the thing God gave us, you know. It is the commander in chief. So whatever happens, actually they say your body is a reflection of your mind.
Exactly.
So if you can control your mind, you can control your body.
And everything around you.
Everything around it. So even sickness, you know, it is just commanding the commander in chief that all is well. And the commander in chief will send signals to the policemen, to the soldiers, to the army, to do the needful. And they will do, you know. So that is what really matters. How do you command your mind? So it comes back from affirmations, what you think, what you talk about. And it gets back to the story we talked about last time for Jacob and Esau. You know, Isaac the father is you. Jacob and Esau, this Jacob is the blessed one. Esau is the carnal mind. But often in time you find that you want to bless negativity based on what you think, based on what you say. So when you say, come and I feel you, that means you're calling who the blessed one. Jacob, come and I feel you so that I can give you the blessing. That means if you're calling them, you want to feel them. Now you go back to the situation where you were feeling okay, feeling healthy. How does it feel to be healthy, right? How does it feel to be happy? How does it feel to be healthy, happy, delighted, you know? Now, once you catch that feeling of happiness, now you've commanded your mind. Whatever is happening now becomes irrelevant. It sends out the blessing. That's why you see when Isaac, who is you, caught on Jacob, he passed on his blessing, because whatever happened was irrelevant. So you too, whatever you feel, you bless. So if you're feeling bad, you're blessing negativity. If you're feeling unwell, you're going to be unwell. If you're feeling jealousy, you're going to be jealous. If you're feeling angry, you're going to, you know. So your feeling is the test that creates your reality. So, and it comes back to the mind itself. So him getting up, telling him, talk to yourself, feel, that is what
you're supposed to do. You fought it.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know, there's so many stories of how people have failed. Not because they are taking medicine, not because somebody placed a hand on them, but self-healing, coming from self-actualization of who you are. And once you get there, that means you command your body to do what you think or imagine it to do.
Literally everything, the whole sermon was the things we keep talking about. And these things that we keep, you know, we talk about them every day, every single day. I mean, it's what we say. We just become part of us. Even what I need and talked about, you know, like asking God to allow for you to, you know, to be able to respond in times of adversity. And it goes back to yesterday, we're talking about responses. How did Job respond? How did Joseph respond? How did, you know, Isaac respond? Now, all these people at the end of the day are out there in heaven, in heaven, but they're in heaven and they made it.
That's why I was telling the other day that everything in the Bible, all the names. Now, when when you talk about Paul, remember Paul was Saul.
Was Saul,
initially. And the word soul means what? The lower self. You know? Now, when you go to the lower self, that means you're accepting the body. And your body is being covered by the darkness. But after he received Jesus on Christ on his way to Damascus, he changed. And he had to become Paul. Paul meaning what? The higher you. That means you have accepted the truth that you and only you has the power to control you. right? Now, once you accept that, you've become Paul. That means you've gone on the higher self of you. That means you have power, you have control over everything within you. Because once you control it within, that means without has no power over you. You see? So it all comes back to us. Just that we always seek for external invasion, external help, external assistance. That is why Jesus had to summon his disciples. Remember we talked about those are the 12 faculties of your mind. And gave them power. That means he gave you power to go out and preach, to go out and tell the gospel. Which gospel? The truth. What truth? That you alone, by you alone, you're responsible for your life endeavors. Okay. Responsible for what you want to do, be, and have in life. That was the truth. You know? So, some people hide away the truth, wanting us to go to them so that they can heal. Yet, everything is within us.
So literally, being invisible, the adversities people go through in life, the different bad experiences, they are there to make you. And from your testimony, from your wins, tomorrow you're going to use the same wins, you know?
Absolutely.
To give back to others.
It's like how the ego teaches the young eaglets to fly. They already have the wings, but they don't know how to use the wings. So it carries them on their back. The male eaglet carries the young eaglets on its back. So it goes to a very, very high place in the sky, then releases the young eaglets that do not know how to fly, but already have the wings that can enable them to fly. So the young eaglets are not able to fly for a certain distance and a certain reason, one or the other, because maybe their wings are not yet stronger. But before they fall on the ground, the male eaglet holds them up. And it does this over and over again until the eaglets start feeling their wings. Now when they start feeling their wings, they start flying. So should we say that the eaglets did not have the ability to fly? No, they had, but they did not know how to use that ability, which is
their wings. They didn't even know they could do it.
Absolutely. So our role, and as human beings having the 12 mental faculties that we can command, is supposed to carry those that have not yet learned how to fly and let them fly. But you don't let them hit themselves on the ground and feel the pain so that they can learn. Hold them before, but again,
I'd for you to like elaborate more on the 12 mental faculties that we do have. Like we talk more about people, like give it time, like more in detail. So we'll check it out.
Like you want to understand them.
Like in depth.
Okay, now you see, when Jesus was starting his ministry on earth, right? He had to get people. Let me use the exoteric interpretation before I go into the esoteric. Yes, he had to get people that can help him, right? To start on his work and finish it, right? So he had to summon the 12 disciples, and these 12 disciples are representatives of our mind faculties, right? So for you to have dominion, for you to do all the work that you're supposed to be doing, you have to first control your mental faculties, which are 12 in number. The first one, the first apostle, if you want to call them apostles, but apostle literally means the person who has discovered the truth, knows the truth, and is living the truth and sharing the truth, right? So the first one is Peter. Peter, remember when Jesus was asking, who am I? What are people calling me? What do people think I am? And the 12 disciples went to start, the 11 started babbling, you know, the Joseph, the Baptist, Elijah, blah, blah, blah. And they all kept quiet. And in Peter's silence, he revealed who Jesus was. And Jesus was like, yes, this has not come from you, but from my Father in heaven. And from today forth, I will build my church. I'll build I'll put a stone and build my church. So he changed his name to Peter. So Peter means the foundation of your belief is faith, right? So faith is the center of the brain. With faith, everything is possible. Faith without action is dead. So the foundation of whatever you believe do is faith. Without faith, you can't achieve anything, which is the first faculty, right? The second faculty, the second disciple is Andrew. Andrew is unheard of. We only hear him when he went to call his brother, Philip, Nathaniel. So Andrew signifies strength, right? And this strength is in your mind. When you look at whatever Andrew did, it was strength. Calling his brother to come and join Jesus. Who was? Peter. Because Peter was told by Andrew, right? So, giving Jesus, there's a time when the Greek had visited and they did not have food, and Andrew is the one who had to bring food forth. He had little, but he was confident enough to bring it. So Andrew is the second, which is strength. We have James, son of Zebedee, right? James. He was the son of the Zebedees, you know. James is the third disciple who stands for discrimination. He stands for judgment. Right? So you remember, in Jesus' cycle, he had three that he always moved with. His inner cycle was made of Peter, James, and John.
Peter and John went to there are three, yeah?
There are three.
Peter,
James, and John. So we have known that Peter is strength. Is faith, right? James is discrimination and judgment. Then John is love. He's the heart.
John was the fourth one, right?
Yes, was the fourth one. Which is the heart, which is love, right? Now, when you have love, love leads you to right judgment, right? But love comes as a result of your faith. You get how it's flowing? Then we have the fifth one, who was Philip. Right? Philip represents power. And Philip represents the power that comes from your tongue. Right? So your tongue, yesterday we talked about the two-edged sword, which is your tongue, which reflects what you think. Then the fifth disciple was Nathaniel, who was brought by Andrew. You remember? So Nathaniel or Bartholomew stands for your imagination. The power of imagination. So nothing happens that happens unless it happens in your imagination. Right? So your imagination is what creates reality. To put it right, you are a subtotal of your imagination. That was the who? Philip. Who's the Nathaniel, right?
Yes,
Nathaniel. Who's the fifth disciple? The seventh disciple is Thomas. Thomas represents understanding. Yes. Represents understanding. And this understanding is in your forebrain. Right? So remember, your forebrain has three faculties itself. It has thinking, imagination, and creativity. You get it? So Thomas is understanding. The eighth disciple is Matthew.
So wait, you said understanding, and three what?
Sorry? When we talk about understanding, remember we are looking at them as your mind faculties. So where does understanding fall? Understanding is in your forebrain. You remember our head is composed of our forebrain and our hindbrain. Hindbrain is for balance. The forebrain is for creativity, thinking, and reasoning. The eighth disciple is Matthew.
Matthew.
Yeah. Matthew represents the will.
Mm-hmm.
It is the willpower within you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the book of Matthew, Matthew is always talking about the will of God, the will of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
John was talking about love.
Love.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Peter was talking about whom we, where we mm-hmm. find Apostle Paul, because Paul and Peter
mm-hmm.
were faith. Right?
Mm.
So the ninth disciple, right? Then the ninth.
Mm.
The ninth disciple, who's called James, son of Alphaeus.
What are James? The first James was James.
The first James was the son of the Zebedee. That was
the son of
disciple. Son of Zebedee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then the ninth is James, son of Alphaeus.
Yeah, that's
now, the ninth disciple represents order. Right?
Mm.
Order of things. How do you prioritize?
Mm.
The tenth is Simon. Simon the Canaanite. Right?
Mm.
Simon the Canaanite represents zeal. Zeal is a desire.
Mm, desire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then 11th is Thaddeus.
Thaddeus.
Yes. Thaddeus represents elimination,
yeah.
Unification.
What?
He represents elimination.
Elimination, yes.
Yes, elimination. Like, how do you differentiate? How do you remove? Like, it's like pruning, yeah. Yes, removing bad thoughts, replacing good thoughts. You know that act. Now you're using your 11th disciple, who's Thaddeus. Now the last one, the 12th disciple, is Judas. And Judas represents life conserver. No, it's not betrayal. It's life conserver. And he's the generative function. You know, Judas controls the whole 12.
Mm-hmm.
You see? He controls the whole 12. Now, for you to be able to control the 12, you have to tame Judas.
You have what? To tame him. Judas in you.
Yes, to tame the Judas in you. Failure to tame the Judas in you, he's going to affect all the 11.
You can't be there that you want to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that is why we see that Judas betrayed Jesus, saying he betrays your consciousness of being. But after he has realized his mistake, he asks for forgiveness, right? And hangs himself. Literally meaning you've killed the other Judas. You've asked for forgiveness, and now you're back to handle the 12, the 11 disciples that are within you. So Judas was the fulfillment. He's the fulfillment. He's like the Alpha and Omega. So if you fail to tame him, your whole life is at worst. But if you tame him, it puts your life back to your intended purpose. Yes.
Very good. I'll read more.
So those are the 12, you know, the 12 powers, the 12 powers of your mind that you need to develop each and every day. You need
every single day.
The Gardener's Show, giving you purpose through mind transformation to live a fulfilled life.